Morning.
This morning, I'd like to continue the instructions that we began yesterday, starting with that framework, there is a body. Someone left me a note yesterday with an insight. And the note just said, there isn't a body. So I'd like to acknowledge that on one level that's quite true. However, we use this particular instruction from the Satipatthana Sutta, where the Buddha says, be mindful there is a body to the extent necessary for clear knowing and continuous mindfulness. So we're using the concept. You know, there is a body. Body is a concept, but the concept helps us settle into the felt sense of what we call body. It helps us settle back into the experience of the physical elements that we experience. So it's fine to use concepts in this way as a frame for our experience. It's as if we put a frame around the picture in order to see the picture more clearly. So the point is not to look at the frame, the point is to look at what the frame is enclosing. So in this way, perception, which is concepts, actually becomes a support for mindfulness. We use the perception, the concept there is a body. Not holding on to the words or the concept or the image, but just as a reminder there is a body, and we settle into the felt experience of it. That's how it should be used. And as I mentioned yesterday, I found it most helpful to use that framework, there is a body, much as a structure. You know, of a building that's wide open so that we can see everything that's going on within it. But the structure is just enough to keep us grounded so the mind doesn't get carried away, you know, in thoughts or daydreams or fantasies. We're grounded in the awareness of it is a body and we're feeling it. We're not just repeating the words. It's a way of settling. So, if you find it helpful or interested in exploring it, I would bring that phrase to mind several times in the sitting, just as a way of coming back to this very settled, open, relaxed, uneffortful awareness that is a body. It's very, very simple. And today it might be interesting to start with that and then be open to the awareness of all the sounds that are appearing within this framework. There is a body, we're sitting, we're in this openness, and within this framework of there is a body, sounds are going to appear and disappear. Simply become aware of the sounds as they arise and pass away. It will give you a very immediate sense of how effortless awareness can be. You're sitting undistracted, there is a body, and sounds are just coming and going by themselves. When the mind is undistracted and you're simply present, those sounds will be known in the very moment of their arising. Nothing you have to do to hear them. Sounds appear and they're known spontaneously in the very moment that they arise. Again, it's keeping a very relaxed, open, settled sense. Feeling the body, there is a body. within that framework, sounds are coming and going. Let the mind become very open and spacious. We're not trying to do anything. We don't have to make the sounds behave in a certain way. We're just aware. Notice the difference when the mind puts a name to the sound, a car or a truck or a bird, or is just able to be in a bare experience of hearing, just sensing or feeling the vibration of sound. Sometimes the word or the image of what's making the sound will quickly arise in the mind. That's fine, it's not a problem. But don't proliferate around the concept. If the word or image comes, just see that arise and pass, and then settle back into the direct experience of the sound itself, just hearing. And more than anything in this practice, notice how simple this is. There's nothing to do, there's nothing to be, there's nothing to have. We're just sitting, bringing to mind there is a body, settling into that felt sense, and aware of sounds coming and going. Relax the eyes, relax the shoulders. Notice whether the mind rests easily in the awareness of sounds or begins to get lost in a proliferation of thought. Simply noticing what the mind is doing. As you're sitting in this very simple, open awareness, there is a body, becoming aware of the sounds as they appear spontaneously. Sounds arising and passing. You may begin to notice that the breath is happening within that all by itself. The body is breathing. There's no need to particularly focus on the breath, zero down in on it, but just include the awareness of the breath within this open field of awareness. The feeling of the in-breath or out-breath is arising in the same effortless, spontaneous way as sounds are arising. Just another phenomenon appearing and changing. If you find it helpful, you can attend to the breath in several of the ways we mentioned yesterday. Sitting in this openness, simply knowing you're breathing in or breathing out, or noticing whether each breath is particularly long or short, feeling the breath in the whole body, calming the breath, calming the mind. Explore for yourself if any of these perspectives in particular are helpful. From time to time, ask the question, what's the attitude in my mind? Body, about the breath, about sounds. Asking the question, see if the mind settles back into a more relaxed awareness. Maybe we'll notice a kind of wanting or impatience. And as you're sitting, mindful, there is a body, just to the extent necessary for clear knowing and continuous mindfulness, as well as becoming aware of sounds as they come, or the feeling of the breath coming in and out. You may also become aware of different bodily sensations, different physical sensations. Hardness or softness, a pressure, a pulsing or burning, a tightness, vibration. Let these sensations also become part of the field of awareness. They're arising at certain times. When they become predominant, allow the attention to connect with those sensations, to feel the sensations. You may notice quite immediately some are pleasant, some are unpleasant. Simply to notice that quality of pleasantness or unpleasantness. Can you stay open to both? As you soften into and relax into the feeling of the sensations that may be arising, notice what happens to them. Do they get stronger? Do they get weaker? Do they fade away? Do they end abruptly? As you're feeling one sensation, does another one suddenly appear? Just to be mindful of how it's all happening. Mindfulness is the coming face to face with the arising experience. Without attachment, without aversion. Just seeing. Staying grounded in the very light awareness that is a body. Be mindful and aware of whatever else arises within that framework. Sounds coming and going. Breath coming in and out. Different sensations appearing and changing. If particularly strong sensations appear, either pleasant or unpleasant, it's helpful to check the attitude in the mind about them. Is there holding? Is there resistance? Is there aversion? Is there openness? Is there relaxation? Notice how the mind is relating to those sensations, and to settle back into a simple mindful awareness of them, noticing their changing nature. Feel different sensations. Notice the difference between the concept, my back hurts or my knee hurts, the difference between that concept level and the direct perception of the sensations themselves, the burning, the tightness, the pressure, the vibration. Notice how the concept itself doesn't change, leg, back, but the sensations themselves are continually changing. Times of being lost in thought, and the very moment of waking up from being lost. Highlight that experience of wakefulness in that moment. Investigate what that quality of mind is like, quality of awareness, of wakefulness. Any questions about the instructions or about your experience in the sitting? Okay, so the question was, how do you reconcile the wish or the attempt to develop a one-pointed mind with making the mind open and expansive? There are two kinds of concentration that can be developed. One kind is one-pointedness on a single object. And there are many techniques for doing it. It could be the breath, it could be an image, it could be a sound. We take a single object and develop concentration on it. And that, when it's carried to its fulfillment, can lead to deep states of samadhi, concentration, and absorption. The other kind of concentration is called momentary concentration. In Pali, it's called kanika samadhi. And it's the mind that's concentrated in each moment on changing objects. So the idea is not to hold the mind on any one single object, but to be connected with and concentrated on each arising object as it appears. When there is a continuity of momentary concentration, moment after moment we're connecting, that level of concentration, of moment concentration, can become very stable, very strong, enough to lead all the way to awakening. So there are two different approaches, and different traditions emphasize one or another at the beginning. In some traditions, you do a one-pointed concentration on a single object for some time, and then open it up. In this tradition, we develop the momentary concentration from the beginning. So they're just different approaches. But they both lead to a mind that's well concentrated.
Mm-hmm. Noting that sometimes in my own experience, the labeling...
And so the question is, as different experiences arise, is it helpful to label the experience with a concept? But his experience has been that sometimes in doing that, it seems to distance himself from the actual felt experience. The labeling is a tool. It's actually the application of the factor of perception. Perception is what's labeling, because it's recognizing what the object is. It's quite interesting that there are two causes for the development of mindfulness. One is mindfulness itself, which means each moment of mindfulness builds a certain momentum, which makes the next moment of mindfulness come more easily. And at a certain point, that momentum is very strong, and the mindfulness is really happening by itself. There's no particular effort involved there. The other cause for mindfulness to arise is perception. And this is quite interesting. It said that clear recognition of the object can help or support the mind become mindful of what it is. And that's the example I gave in the beginning of the picture frame. Right? We use the frame in order to see the picture more clearly. The danger is that people get too caught up in the frame. You know, they start looking, oh, nice frame, I don't like the frame, whatever. So then it's not helpful. You want to understand that this whole technique of mental labeling or mental noting is a tool. Some people find it helpful, some people find it not helpful. Some people find it helpful at different times. So I would just experiment, you know, and see how it works for you. In any case, if you do use it at different times, the label should be very soft background, just enough to guide the mind to the experience of the object. That's the purpose of it. And it can be helpful, and it's not always necessary.
Always whole, no aversion. So we used to say that we accept things. So mindfulness is full acceptance. There is no mindfulness and acceptance. If you are mindful, you accept everything. It's...
If I understand the question, the comment was about mindfulness is always wholesome, which means that in a moment of mindfulness, there's no greed, there's no aversion. But mindfulness also means acceptance. So if there's full acceptance, then are you accepting the aversion or the greed? Is this what you're asking?
There's acceptance. There's nothing else. It's whole. So, like, it's very common to say you have to accept. I believe we don't have to accept illusion of something, the acceptance. You don't ha- I can't accept, I can't make something to accept in order that I will accept. It's the end of the conditions. So mindfulness is really an acceptance of everything. Yeah, also any kind of, but maybe there isn't, so there is no need to accept anything because there isn't greed or these things. About mindfulness and acceptance.
Okay, I'm not sure I get the question entirely, and we could continue
okay.
individually. But it is very interesting. Mindfulness means more than just acceptance. Suppose there's desire or greed arising in the mind. So mindfulness becomes aware of greed is present, and it's accepting the fact that it's there. Right? So it's not denying it, it's not pushing it away. But mindfulness also knows that greed is an unwholesome factor. So it's not accepting it in the sense that, oh, greed is good, I'm going to just accept it. That's not the kind of acceptance mindfulness is about. Mindfulness is the acceptance, oh, greed is present.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what mindfulness means in that context is that we're aware of it without identifying with it. That non-identification is an essential part of mindfulness. It's very interesting, and we'll be talking more as the week goes on, to notice the quality of your mind when you become aware of a hindrance. When we're identified with the hindrance, greed or aversion or doubt, whatever it may be, when we're identified with it, we may be recognizing that it's there, that's perception, but we're not being mindful of it because we're identified with it. When we're not identified with it, when we're just seeing, oh, there's greed, and here's the subtle point. When you're mindful of greed or mindful of aversion without identification, in that moment of being mindful of it, the mind is not greedy.
Yeah.
You know, because we have disidentified from it. And that's why mindfulness is always wholesome. Don't think too much about this. It's interesting. And more of these subtleties become apparent, you know, as we are watching our minds. Okay, there are a few announcements about the interviews. First, realize that in our effort to see everyone individually throughout the retreat, it's a long list of names. So, a couple of things in that regard. Come like 5 minutes early to where the interview will be, so you're right there. When one person leaves, then you can come. Don't just be starting to amble over to the place, you know, when it's your time. Be there. We'll be meeting, we'll find places out on the lawn, and you can see, you know, where we'll be sitting. Bartel is going to be sitting in on my interviews today, just as part of a training as an assistant teacher. It's very helpful. It really is a way of learning and training. However, if you would prefer to have a private interview without her there, it's totally fine. There's no judgment about, just say that I'd prefer to speak privately. And there's no problem with that. But if you don't mind, it can be a help. So you can just consider which you would prefer. Okay, and again, as you come for the interview, just give a little bit of thought to what aspects of your practice you would like to talk about. It might be some difficulties that are arising, some things that are problematic. It might be some insights, you know, that you've seen that you want to discuss. Or it might be a simple report on what's happening. You know, it doesn't have to be a question. It could just be reporting, this is what happened in my sitting or in my walking. One last comment. We've talked a lot about relaxing. Relaxing in the practice. Keep in mind that there is a big difference between being relaxed and being casual, because it's easy to notice as we're moving about. It's what I call more or less mindful. You know, we're kind of there, we're kind of mindful, but it's in a rather casual way. That's not really mindfulness. So as you're moving about, see if you can find that place of being really relaxed in the body with a very caring attention, really feeling the movements, you know, of the body, the sensations that you're feeling. So just play with the difference and notice the difference between being relaxed and being casual, because that will have a tremendous impact on your retreat. That's it. Given that the interviews, you know, will be starting, I would also suggest that you adjust the speed of your walking using clear comprehension as to the context. So if you're walking out of the hall and 50 people are behind you, lifting, moving, placing, may not be the appropriate mode. Pay attention to what's appropriate in terms of how slowly or quickly you're moving.